to shepherd for sin. And how firm our foundation.
All right. Good morning, church. So good to be here with you. If we haven't met, my name is Sebastian. I serve as the pastoral resident here. And I just want to say, if I haven't met you, please don't shy away from reaching out. I will be hanging out around here. I just want to shake your hand. I want to hear your story. I just want to get to know you. So my name is Sebastian. Put a face to the name. So glad that you're here. I just got to say, I love the fact that we get to witness God moving in our church. I mean, I love that the Lord is growing our church family. I mean, we just welcome people into our family this morning. And it is because of that that I would like to just spend some time this morning just unpacking what it means to be a family. Why can we be a family? And also to talk about the challenges. I mean, come on, do life together? It's a challenge. But also, we don't get stuck there because we'll also talk about the comfort that we get to experience because we belong to this family, because we're not outsiders. So as I was preparing for the message this week, I just couldn't help but think to myself, part of my story, and maybe I haven't shared this with you guys, so this will be a first, I don't know. Anyways, summer of 2006, my family decides to make a really hard decision, that is to immigrate to the United States. If you can't tell, and by the way that I speak, you can tell that, you know, this guy's not from Grand Rapids, and you're correct, right? So, yes, from Mexico, we moved into the U.S. 2006. I was roughly about 13, 14 years old, going into eighth grade. And if I can tell you this, if I can be honest, I remember when my parents talked to me about this, and I was like, absolutely no. Like, how dare you? You know, I have my friends here. I go to school. I have my church. I'm part of a soccer team. Like, come on. Why would you take me out from this place? But as often it is the case for all the families, when you're a kid, you don't really have a say in big decisions like this, right? So the parents make that choice for you. So we immigrated to the States, and I remember the first weeks when I had to go into school. Keep in mind, this is a new context, new challenges, new culture, new language, right? I couldn't even say, hi, how's it going in English? Because I didn't know how, right? And so that was part of my story. Now, why do I mention that? Because I remember how I felt about that. I remember waking up every single morning with a sense of anxiety because I was so worried about trying to fit in, trying to be welcome or trying to be accepted. To the point where I would get so anxious that I wouldn't even function the way that I was used to. My personality was starting to change, where now instead of reaching out to people, I was becoming isolated and disengaging from the community because I felt like I had no place in it. It was hard for me to fit in. And if you're honest with yourself this morning, I think that you can relate to that. It may not be a new context, it may not be a new culture or language, but anywhere you find yourself in, whether if it's the first day of school, if you're a kid, right? Do you remember what it feels like to go to school for the first time without your parents? Or what about when you graduate high school and you go into college and now you're like, man, I don't know if my roommates are going to like me. I don't know what this experience is going to be all about. I don't know how this is going to go for me. Or when you graduate and you go and get a job and now you're like, are they going to like me? Full-time job, like, whoa, big things. Am I going to be welcome here? Right? Like, we can all relate to this reality. And what that highlights for us is that we all have this sense of belonging. We all long to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We have the desire to fit in. We want to be welcome. We want to be accepted. We want to find a sense of identity, a sense of purpose in belonging to a community. And I think it's fair for us to ask, like, how does that shape us? Well, there's a lot of psychologists that argue that these deep sense of belonging not only shapes our behavior, how we interact with one another, but it also affects our mental health. It makes us anxious. We become self-concerned, right? We wrestle with questions like, will I make it? Will they like me? Am I going to be accepted? Can I be good enough? And if I am accepted, can I keep this up for a long term? Is this something that I can keep up? Am I going to fail? What if they see my brokenness? What if I'm too weird? What if I'm too awkward and I'm not welcome? I'm convinced that all of this just highlights the reality that all of us that are in this room, we have a God-shaped hole. And we try to fill that up with all kinds of groups, right? Like we try to fit in, we try to belong, we try to fulfill that desire to be a part of something greater. And you see, God created us to know others and to be known by others, to do life together, to experience the fullness of the new life that we have in Christ in a community, not just any type of community, a community that is or belongs to God's family. We are part of the family. So before we dive in and unpack what it means to be a family, why do we call it church membership, what are the challenges, what comfort do we have in that, I just want to invite you to pray with me, and then we'll dive right in. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning with humble hearts, asking that you would quiet our minds and quiet our souls to encounter you this morning through your word. Father, that as we open up your word, that we would be convicted and draw to the reality that you have made us a family, a people for you. Father, I just pray that you would get a hold of our thoughts and affections this morning and that you would be glorified through the preaching of your word. Pray that my words would be very few and that you would speak loudly to our hearts because we need that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, real quick, before we dive in, I just want to share with you the big idea. We just read the text. Mike, thank you for doing that. And this is the big idea. This is what I want you to consider as we unpack all of these things together. And that is that the new and living way Christ has given us is meant to be lived in the context of the local church. And I'm going to try to make an argument for that here. And we're going to get to unpack that in three different sections. We're going to get to unpack that by looking at the foundation of what this new and living way is. We're going to get to look at the experience. How do we experience this new and living way? What does that mean for us? What does it mean to be members of the family? And lastly, we're going to get to look at what it looks like to practice. We're going to try to put it into practical, right? What does it mean to practice this new and living way, to be a part of the body? And my aim with all this is that we would strive to live in the fullness of the new and living way that Christ instituted for us as a church family. In the verses, we started with our passage in Hebrews 10, verse 19. But if you open up your Bible, actually, if you can do that for me, if you have your Bible and open it up in Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to be kind of like going, we're going to take a look at the whole thing real quick. If you notice the first section of Hebrews 10, the author of Hebrews is reminding us of what Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. He brings to our attention the sacrificial system. And keep in mind, the people of Israel were very familiar with this. And maybe for you, you're like, sacrificial system. Like, what are we talking about here? Well, this chapter overall, Hebrews 10, it anchors us in the foundation of our justification. We have been forgiven and declared righteous before God. And we are no longer transgressors, but we have received the right to become children of God, to become part of God's family. Christ's sacrifice, the author of Hebrews says, was made once for all, meaning that Christ paid for our past and our present and our future sin, that there is no more payment to be made. And because of this, he says, God remembers our sin no more. The debt has been paid. It's canceled. This is why the verse 18, he closes the section of the chapter with these words. It says, where there is forgiveness for these, there is no longer any offering of sin. Christ has paid it all, once for all. There is no more sacrifice to give. What Jesus has done has brought us near to God and has made us part of his family. And this is where we get the first section here, the foundation. Let's call it like the theology of why we are made a family. And notice how it starts in verse 19. He says, therefore, right? Once for all, he paid it. Therefore, brothers. You notice that? Brothers. He doesn't say friend. He doesn't say acquaintance or reader. But he addresses us as brothers, a family. There is a close relationship here. There is a level of closeness. There is acknowledgement of belonging to the same family. And he says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Now, let me put a pause right there, because if you're new to church, you're like, what? Like, the holy places, what does that mean? The blood of Jesus? Like, what happened there? The original audience, I have to mention, they were really familiar with this type of language. If you remember the Bible being made from the Old Testament and New Testament, in the Old Testament, you had plenty of language about the temple. They really knew what the temple was all about. And the temple, let's just mention it briefly, it basically had two functions in a way. One was to bring people closer to God. This was the place where people would go and pray. People would go and worship. People would go and offer sacrifice. In fact, once a year, the high priest of the people of God would have access to the place that was called Holy of Holies, where he would go and make atonement for the sins of the people. He was the representative of the people before God. But also, because of that, the temple, the other function is that it didn't bring people to close to God, because people are sinful, God is holy, and that can't be mixed together. The holiness of God cannot be mixed with the sinfulness of people. And so you had in the temple a place, a room that was called the holy place, and then there was a curtain that would divide that, and you would enter into the Holy of Holies then. So last week we celebrated Holy Week, right? Good Friday, Easter. We talked about the crucifixion of Jesus and the resurrection. That's our celebration. But when Jesus was on the cross and when he was giving up his spirit to the Father, something significant took place here. And Matthew records that for us. In Matthew 27, verse 51, it says this, behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. And this is what the author of Hebrews is getting at. What happened there? What is the significance of it? I mean, keep in mind, the veil was torn from top to bottom. What do you think that means? Well, if it was something done by us, by humans, it would be torn from bottom to top. But because this was something done by God in Christ, was from top to bottom. So now, because of that, we have access, direct access, to the relational presence of Yahweh, of God. This is why we don't go to Jerusalem to a temple to go and worship and experience his presence. We do that here, right now. And then he goes on and says, because of that, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled and clean from evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You see, the author of Hebrews here reminds us of the new covenant. Did you catch that, the language that he used? Having been sprinkled clean and washed, your body washed clean? If you remember the Old Testament, God chose to reveal this new covenant for his people in the words of Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25. It says this, he says, I will sprinkle, this is what God will do for his people. He says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. And from your idols I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. To paraphrase a little, like, words from Isaiah chapter 42, where God says that he's going to give his chosen servant as the covenant for his people. This is exactly what the author of Hebrews is talking about. Because Christ himself is the new covenant for us. This is how we partake of this new covenant, because of Christ. And it is by faith. We receive all the benefits. We become a new creation. And we get this new and living way that the author of Hebrews is talking about here for us. We get to experience God, the relation with God, in a relation with one another. And this leads us to the second section here. So experience, right? We understand Christ accomplished this for us. We are made new. We have new life. We belong to this family. But what is that experience like? How do we live that now? This is where we're going to start getting a little bit more practical, because this should cause us to experience deep joy. Deep joy. We finally and truly have a place where we belong, a place where we are accepted, a place that we are welcome. We no longer have to earn our approval. We no longer have to wonder if we're going to be good enough, if people are going to get scared away by our brokenness. No longer, because Christ dealt with that and brought us into relationship with one another in him. You see, Paul says it this way in Ephesians 2:19. He says, so then you, all of us, are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, the family of God. This is what Christ has done for us. This means that we, as God's people, God's family, we get to share intimacy. Right, like we get to be known by one another and know each other. And can we be honest for a second here? This is hard. This is challenging. This can be messy, inconvenient. It makes us uncomfortable sometimes. So maybe you have been a part of a church before where you just didn't feel welcome and you carry that baggage with you. Maybe you served in ministries before and you got to a point where you worked so hard and now you feel like you gave it all and yet you didn't feel value and now you really feel like you don't belong. Or maybe you just felt out of place. Nobody understood you. Even though you tried your hardest, you still felt like you were part of the outside group and not really the inside group of the church family. This can be really complicated for all of us. And I just want to say, if we're honest, maybe, this is exactly how you're feeling right now in this church. And if that is the case, I just want to tell you, we're truly sorry for that. Forgive us for that. The reality is this, that our fallen nature continues to try to creep in into the new family that we belong now to. We unintentionally continue to mess things up. We unintentionally continue to hurt one another. Our pride, a lot of the time, gets in the way. And so maybe you do wonder, what is the point? Why keep doing this? Why does this matter? I want to remind you of this. This right here, this family, is the place where our messiness and our ugliness can truly be displayed. And yet, we don't have to fear if we're going to continue to be welcome or accepted or loved. We can be genuine about our emotions and process that and share our frustration and go with one another and say, hey, what you said to me really hurt me. And we can do that because there's abundance of grace in this place. This is the type of family that we are. We are a type of family where the gospel continues to grab a hold of our hearts and continues to transform us into the image of Jesus. Where we get to strive to cultivate a culture where there is plenty of safety. This is a safe space for us to do that. We're a family where we learn to lean into each other. Time after time, as many times as it requires. Right? Pastor Mike likes to say our community is gospel saturated, there's plenty of safety, and we have time to do this all over and over together. Right? We're a family where, as hard as it may be, our sense of belonging is truly met. It's truly met. And this is the beauty of it. It's met because we do have a great high priest, right? We talked about the priest earlier. Well, now Jesus, because what he accomplished, he becomes our great high priest, the one who represents us before God the Father. And so we have a great high priest who, get this, when we hurt one another, when we get frustrated with each other, when we're about to like give up, he meets us right there in our weakness. This is why the author of Hebrews points us to this truth in verse 23. He says, all of this is true. So let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Regardless of the messiness, stir one another to love and good works. See, we are encouraged to love one another, to outdo one another with good, to stimulate each other to do good and to love. The call is not for us to run and disengage and become isolated, but is to lean into this reality, into the family that you are a part of. You see, we belong to a community where we truly, genuinely can express our emotions and our frustrations, and we can also acknowledge our mistakes to one another. This is how we learn to forgive one another, right? This is how we honor one another. We talked about gospel culture these past few weeks. What does it look like to do life together? All of the above. All the one another's. And we do that despite of the hurt. Regardless of hurting one another, we get to do that. You see, we are in this together. We're not against one another, but we are for each other. We are part of this family because Christ has made us his own and he has given us a new life and a new way to not only belong to him, but also belong to one another. And this, friends, is gospel life. I don't think you're going to be able to experience this in a country club or a softball team or at work. And if you do, let me know, because this is rare. I haven't seen it. But all that to say, this is gospel life, where we truly get to experience the wonder of grace that has been given to us and the beauty of redemption and restoration of relationships. A big part of how we experience what it's like to be a part of God's family is, the author of Hebrews says, by not neglecting to meet together. By not neglecting to meet together, this leads us to the third section, the practice. What does it look like to practice this, the practical? Verse 25, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some. I just want to mention, give you briefly a little bit of context here. The people that were reading this originally, they were experiencing a sort of persecution here because of their faith. They were encountering really hard times. In fact, it was getting to the point where even within their families, if there was somebody who would profess faith in Christ and gather with the saints, with believers, their own family members would have funeral ceremonies indicating or symbolizing that they no longer belong to this family, that they were dead to them. No longer have a place in the table to come and be a part of the family. And this is why the author of Hebrews says, do not neglect, as it is the habit of some. Some people are starting to say, this is too hard. He says, do not neglect to meet together. And he not only reminds us of the foundation, as we covered, we talked about, and how we get to experience this, but also he gives us instructions as to how to put this to practice. We are called to not disengage. We're called to not neglect meeting together. And one of the big challenges, if I'm honest, I think we got to see this, and we haven't truly recovered from COVID, right? One of the challenges right now is, as convenient as it is and as helpful as it can be, this sense of like church or online church, like going to church online, right? I mean, what better way to check your Jesus box on a Sunday morning than to say, yeah, I get to choose who I want to hear preach. I get to choose what kind of worship I want to listen to this morning, right? What better way than to have my PJs on and to make like ground fresh coffee beans and make fresh coffee and then sit on my favorite couch and watch church online. We try to replace it. Sometimes it's convenient. Sometimes I get it. You can't make it. This is not condemnation. This is just addressing reality for us. And here's the thing. Even when you think like, oh, well, my status is online, I'm connected, you couldn't be farther away from reality because you're truly disconnected from the source, from the body of believers. How are we supposed to walk together if we don't know what is going on in your life? If we don't know what is going on, if you don't know what is going on in our lives, right? Like, what if your mom was just diagnosed with cancer? Or what if you were having problems with your spouse or your kids, right? Like, what if something was going on that was eating you, literally, you were so worried about this, but how could we care? How could we help with this if we don't really know what is going on? Although your status may say online, connected, but you're truly disconnected from the family. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, he said this, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. This is why it's important for us to not neglect, to meet together, to participate in the family, to be a part of this family, to come together as a church, a body of believers. And I don't know if you know this name, Barnabas Piper. You probably know John Piper, but that's his son. Barnabas Piper puts it beautifully, and he says, true honesty, moving from darkness of withdrawal and withholding into the light of Christ, moves us into true belonging. We encounter the healing of Jesus as he cleanses us from the filth and the infection of sin. And we encounter joyful unity with other Christians who also enter the light. Family. We get to experience that with family. In the second part of verse 25, it also gives us an insight as to what it is that we get to practice, right? Like we come together, we don't neglect meeting, but then he says also encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Many times when you take a look at the writings of Paul, you identify that he always connects this with like encourage one another, build up one another, right? Like be there for one another, edify one another. And he says, by using the gifts that God has given to you for the good of the family. You see, what you bring to the table matters. Because what you bring, how you're gifted, I can't fulfill that. Nobody can. Only you can. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says this, "The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresented parts are treated with greater modesty. Which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another." Get this. "If one member suffers, all suffer. And if one member is honored, all rejoice." Family language here. We do this together. So consider this morning, right? How do we show up to one another? Let's make this really practical for us because we're truly a family here. So consider this. How do we show up for one another? Not only Sunday mornings to gather together, although it's good, but what about through the week? If we're truly a family, we must do life together, even through the week, right? How do we intentionally become uncomfortable in order to be present and help one another, right? Maybe it is by helping somebody pack and move, right? Like, oh man, that's tiring. Maybe this is an opportunity. Or what about coming over to clean the yard and chop some trees and some wood, right? Like, what would it look like if we did that? Be present, even for those things, right? Maybe it could be that somebody's car broke down and they need a ride. But, oh man, but I'm too busy. Well, what would it look like for you to make time to go and be present, right? Or what about for parents, like new parents, we have a lot of babies. What if a couple is overwhelmed because, man, like a baby, I don't know what to do. I need a break. I need a nap. I need to sleep, right? What would it look like for one of us to say, hey, I got you. Let me be there for you. Lean into this family. Be a part of this family. Let's walk together, right? And don't get me wrong. I love that our family is huge on this. Like we appreciate community. We're all about community groups. We have LTGs even, right? I just love hearing how the many ways that we do life together as a family, right? Having dinner together and showing up. I need a ride. I'll pick you up. I'll take you to the airport. Whatever it takes. And we do that through the good and the bad. And I've seen it and I witnessed that I've been a part of. If I can be honest, like my wife and I have been walking through a very difficult season because we long to start a family, and that hasn't been the case. And believe me, there are people in this church who have been walking with us in that. And they weep as we weep. I know that maybe there's some of you out there that have experienced that, or maybe the Lord bless you, but then something unfortunate and terrible happened, and it didn't come into fruition, right? We weep with those who weep. Or what about the celebration of life? Yes, you had a baby. We rejoice together and we celebrate the victories together because that's what family do, right? Like we're family. That's what we get to do. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. But we can't do that if we're disconnected from one another. This is the beauty of what Christ has accomplished for us, the we belong together in this local church, this local body. Yes, it is true. When you place your faith in Christ, now you are part of the big church, the capital C church, throughout the ages in the past, the current church right now, and the generation that is to come, you're part of that, yes. But this life, this new and living way, is meant for you to live it and step into that in the lowercase c church, the local church. Redemption City Church for us, right? And so this is what membership, church membership is all about. Be a part of the family. Lastly, he closes the section with this. "And all the more as you see the day drawing near." As we understand the foundation of this new life and we get to experience it and we step into the practical, we actually live it out, we're reminded of the hope that we have. If you notice in that passage, the word day is capitalized, the D. Well, there's a reason why. is not just because they felt like it. But this emphasizes that there's going to be a day that is going to come that is known as the day of the Lord. When Jesus will return and he's going to make all things right. All the suffering and the hurt and the pain that we experience here will be no more. There will be no tears anymore. We'll truly be a family the way that we were intended to. But now we get to step into that reality together. Right? Christ is going to come to finally consummate his kingdom and bring justice and, get this, shalom. Things as they ought to be. Philip Yancey, I think that's how you say his last name. I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on that. But he has a very cool quote that I think captures the whole thing here. I want to read out for us. He says this, "I have settled on this. God gets his family back. From the first to the last book, the Bible tells us of wayward children and the torturous length to which God will go through, or to, bringing them home. Indeed, the entire biblical drama ends, get this, with a huge family reunion in the book of Revelation." Isn't that good news for us this morning? We right now, we get to live into that, step into that reality. God is redeeming the world, and he has made us his family. You know, now being a member, right? Talk about church membership. Now being a member of a local church, I see it like this. Maybe you disagree. Let's talk about it. I'd love to. It's like saying that you're married, but you don't live with your spouse. You don't talk to your spouse. You don't eat together with your spouse. You don't have a relationship with your spouse. Then are you really married? It's impossible, right? See, we get to live as a family in the context of church membership. We hold one another accountable. We are present to help each other to walk through the hardship of life together, right? We're known, right? Like when you look to your right or to your left right now and you notice that a face is missing, you reach out because that's your brother, that's your sister, and you're concerned, right? We're family. And yes, I know that some might say, well, point me to where it says church family in the Bible. Show me where it literally says church family. Well, yeah, it's not there. And John and I recorded a podcast all about this. So if you want to check it out, go to YouTube, Redemption City. You can check it out there, the conversation, right? But yes, maybe it's not there. But I want to say, and I would argue that it's clearly implied and really clearly described. You see, the new and living way that Christ has given to us is meant to be lived in the context of the local church, and that is you and I. And so I just want to say I'm so glad that you're here. What a joy it is to welcome members into our family. You are part of, get this, as John Holderbaum will say, this crazy biblical family. So I love you guys. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just praise you for the work that you have done in Christ for us, how you, even though we were your enemies, Father, and we were far off, you have brought us near. You have made us your family in Christ, Father. Now we belong to you and we belong to one another. So we ask that you would help us, Father, that your Spirit would continue to lead us and guide us and give us wisdom and understanding and so that we can step into that reality of being a family together. Father, that we would take joy in being inconvenienced as we continue to lean into one another and do life together. Father, we praise you for who you are and the things that you are doing here at Redemption City. We love you and we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.